It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the San Diego International Comic-Con trailer talk. Welcome back to Too Many Trailers. If you didn't hear, this is Kelsey.
And I'm Marianne, who is shell-shocked. Kelsey was like, I have an opening idea. And I was like, all right. And then she just bursts out into song.
Into Christmas in July.
That was the greatest thing.
Thank you very much. So if you didn't hear, this is Too Many Trailers, the podcast where we talk about movie trailers or TV trailers.
A few times a year, we mix it up.
We spice it up for y'all.
Spice it up a little bit. And one of those magical times is San Diego
International Comic-Con.
My favorite time of the year.
The best time of the year for me.
Yes.
For how we say we virtually go there and watch the panels and live through people's Instagram posts and stuff.
I identified very strongly with someone that was crying on the floor.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Oh,
I was like, oh, look, it's me. If I were at San Diego Comic Con right now.
And I spent all my money there. So last year we did a lot.
We did so much.
This year we're kind of paring it back. We're really focusing on what we kind of want to talk about. We did see, there were so much. I think we're going to, move a lot of it into the year.
Yes.
Because I think we want to also put more TV trailers and stuff into the mix, not just movie trailers. However, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about the DC TVU
Arrowverse universe
type thing. And then we're going to be talking about all the Marvel Plus, Marvel Disney Plus
announcements,
movie announcement phase 4. And then the second half, we'll talk about just a couple more stuff that piqued our interest, I would say.
Yes, and that seemed that everybody was like, whoa, these are the standout kind of things from...
Something that I constantly saw on my personal Twitter account, the Too Many Trailers Twitter account, my Facebook page, just everywhere.
I went onto YouTube and it was like, here's all the trailers you haven't watched yet. And I was like, but I've watched so many.
But there's more?
But wait,
there's more. So, Marianne, do you wanna jump right into this shit?
Let's jump right the fuck in.
All right,
so we are gonna talk about first that DC's television shows, which are
mostly
commonly
on the CW.
They're all CW.
Yeah.
Because CW, so Supergirl originally started on a different network, and then CW was like,
oh yeah,
CW
that's
CW was
Fox,
like, could you
right?
just could you just hand that over? It started, I think, on CBS.
Oh yeah, it did. Weird? Which was weird. That's strange that it started on CBS, especially because of the fact that no one on CBS I would expect to watch that. They were really Correct. Trying for that younger base, but they forget that literally all their viewers are 65 and older.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the CW owns all of these shows that we're going to discuss. Year going into this next TV year,
a lot of finals,
is Arrow's final season,
which is 8 years in the making.
Yep, so that was the original DC television show,
and it
kicked off all of these spin-offs.
Literally watching the first episode knowing nothing. So, I started watching Arrow through because I think the Superman show that was on the WB 11 or whatever the fuck it was. They introduced Oliver through that show, and then he's actually a spin-off character, technically, if we're speaking. And he got the first season, and I watched it, and I watched it through through the second half of the season, then it was I'm out. So
it's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch up, and there's so much backstory and comic stuff, and I just could not get through it. Mm-hmm. Plus, the writing was pretty bad then too. So I think it was also during the writer's strike. I think a lot of it happened.
Oh, you were probably right.
And or at least point. The tail end of it.
Parts of it probably were.
Yeah, because 8 years. That's 2011. So that at least has to be I know. I'm so sorry.
Wow, we're so old.
I know. Oh, God. So I think that it might have been the tail end of it, or the residualness, where they're just trying to get everything back up to speed with the television writing. So, yeah.
And just, I think they didn't they wanted to format it with a lot of flashbacks, and it was too much.
Just too much flashbacks. It was so they much were really trying to do like a Lost. They were trying to do like Lost type. Yeah. They really got it together in the last few seasons
for the gay stuff, and that stopped at a certain point. And okay. That's what I watched.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. You were like a fan for like a hot second.
Oh, I'm a fan to only watch scenes with Sarah Lawrence.
I would expect nothing less from you.
I have only watched all of the Arrow scenes with some kind of a queer
That's
character.
Why I'm like, yeah, Marianne, you know Arrow more than I do, technically.
I skipped through a lot of season one because I didn't know when Sarah Lance would pop up for the first time, yeah. Really. So I skipped through a lot of season one, but I literally sat there on Netflix and moved the little bar over and waited to see her face. And then finally we got to season two, and I only watched stuff with her. So there's a lot of other plots.
I'm surprised,
that
like, no one that like has like mapped out the time codes.
Right, there's no good full compilations for all of Sarah Lance's
God
stuff.
Damn it, people, get your shit together.
Come on, this is when YouTube people are letting me down.
Come on, YouTube. Doesn't happen YouTube often, people, but YouTube come on. Fans. We gotta get it together.
I need to watch scenes, and there's no way for me to access, so I've literally skipped through a shit ton of Netflix.
Oh my God.
Ugh.
Amazing.
All right, should we jump right into this trailer?
Is that what it is?
It's an in memoriam.
It pretty much is a fucking in memoriam. All right, so this trailer,
I
guess.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's long. It feels long, too. So I was watching it, and then, like, I moved my mouse, like, just slightly, and I read the title, and it's a season, like, it's a recap plus a season 8 teaser. So they're, like...
Oh.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Because I had noticed that literally... The whole trailer is a recap, like, except for 20 seconds of it. It's wild.
I know, it's pretty crazy. It's got, like, because I was like, wow, we're just flashing back and showing all of the characters that have died. I was like, wow, spoiler alert for everything that's happened in this show.
Like, if someone was like, oh, well, let me check this out and never watched Arrow before, they're going to be fucked in terms of spoilers.
It showed everybody that's died on this show.
Literally.
Literally everybody.
It's literally just like a plot point.
Future stuff, I was like, yeah. Oh, God, I wouldn't.
I literally go, okay, so where does the recap end and the teaser begin?
Wait, they put lots of flashbacks and triggering death scenes included.
It's wild.
It is. My first note is, oh my God, they have that, this is the end music going. Like, you could tell right at the beginning. I was like, oh my God.
No, it's like the year of this is the end music. And so,
I hope you're right.
And a lot of it, like, to me, with the Arrow stuff, it's like, these people that are watching it do not need, like, the recap.
They don't, but I...
Like, I can understand for, like, San Diego Comic Con, like, why they would put it, like, right. compilation
and,
like
as
that.
If I was a... Like, so, in one of the, like, episode trailers for one of the last episodes of Buffy, mm-hmm. they did a big flashback kind of thing like right. that. And well, I... That was really,
well,
really
I mean,
great
like, I get, like, an episode trailer because you're trying to, like, being like, hey, remember when this happened 3 seasons ago? Oh, it's finally coming back to, like... make sense for the
they
season.
Did like flashback kind of things
right
the whole thing
but like that to me like one. Makes sense
so that was good but you're right it was this was long and
right
yeah not
and
a good
it,
idea for
and
a
it
trailer
felt long too because I was like oh this is like a lot of the stuff from season one when he was on an island and a rough and tumble Hawkeye I mean like it's
that's what I'm gonna call him now
rough and
a
tumble.
Rough and tumble he's like a disheveled Hawkeye.
He pretty much is. It's like if Clint was like, just didn't care for his hair, essentially.
Literally, and like grew out his beard.
Yeah, exactly. Was like a Robin Hood-esque type character, which they both are, technically, yeah, if we're gonna be bringing for references. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's all my notes. Like, that's, okay. I do not care for this trailer at all.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it's also gonna... Like, for it, as a season as a whole, like, are you going to have a lot of these characters returning, the ones that are still alive?
Right,
maybe, like,
I mean, like,
show, so
why
that
focus?
Would be cool. But I was like, there's so much flashback stuff that it's hard to learn, like, especially if you're like me that's seen parts of it, but not all of it, and, like, kind of knows plot points.
Right.
Like, it's hard to know what is the trailer and what's a flashback.
Right.
So, like, if you're not very caught up, it's going to be like...
It's like, to me, like, who hasn't... I haven't literally watched in, like, X amount of seasons. I was like, okay, here's season one. Here's that oh, there's more, and there's so much more, and oh, here, there's that weird Felicity, you know, and, you know, Oliver kiss that, like, the writers forced on the seasons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, here's some more stuff, and then it ends, and then there's new stuff, and I'm like, okay, so that's...
I was like, what?
So where are we? Who are we? Like, it makes sense. It would make sense. Like, I understand, like, what they were trying to do. Like, they're trying to be like, this is the finality, and we're going to be doing...
Right.
Remember this happened.
Remember
this
all these people we used right. to have?
And then we killed off, and then
yeah, right, exactly. And then we killed them all.
I think, like, I understand, like, what they're trying to do, being like, look what, like, happened to what we came here, but make it in so a way where maybe Oliver is, like, doing, like, a voiceover, and he's saying, like...
The one time I would approve a voiceover.
Right, exactly. The one time where it would make sense. The one time.
Like, I really don't like Oliver.
He is an
He's a very problematic character.
Extremely.
I mean, the one time I would approve of his voice being used for a series finale...
Because, like, I mean, like,
new trailer.
He is Arrow. Like, Oliver
yes.
Queen. Like,
that makes sense. It's him, yes.
And,
so,
it makes sense
for him to voice over it.
Like, Oliver is a problematic mm-hmm. character because he's a white cis male.
And also
very rich. I mean, he's a very problematic person.
I watched, like, seasons 1 and 2, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what are you doing?
They're, like, doing, like, cocaine off a toilet. I don't know. I haven't seen the series. I'm like,
I mean, like,
it could have happened. It's New York, baby.
Or California, whatever. Who fucking
Gotham.
Knows? They're in Star City.
That is Chicago, then.
Or Starling is what it's called at the beginning.
Chicago.
I know this all from only following things about Sarah Lance.
Oh, boy. Any other notes?
No.
Okay.
No, so, it's going to premiere in October.
Oh, good to know. I won't be watching it.
Damn.
Sorry.
Chelsea is, like, not holding back.
All right. So, like, last year, we rated the trailers on... did we rate them?
We did rate yeah. them last year, yes. Do you remember how difficult that was
No,
for
that
me?
Was that was also...
We that's
also,
how we fought.
But that's... Oh, yeah. Never
Civil
mind.
War.
Yeah, Civil War. So, like, last year, we rated them on a 0 to 5 scale. Marianne, what is your rating for this trailer?
I'm adjusting my rating because I just did them right now because I forgot we had to rate. And I remembered it being a little bit better, but I think I was just happy to see characters that I knew. So I'm going to rate it down to a 2.5.
Oh, jeez, that's high.
It's high only because I liked seeing Sarah okay. Lance and other characters I knew for a little bit. I liked the flashback thing because I was like, oh, I know kind of things in this. Just because I was like, oh, I can recognize things.
Right.
But it sucked.
Yeah, it really did. 1 out of 5 for me. Just because of the fact that it feels long, it is way too long, and there was no creativity behind it. It was kind of just like, look at here, and here's a teaser.
Here's some flashbacks.
Ooh! All right. And next. The ham horn is back, people.
For San Diego Comic-Con only.
Hell yeah. All right.
So I put the Flash next, because I kind of went
okay.
in order of how the things had gone.
Supergirl was next, but sure. All right.
Oh, I need to save.
Oh, okay. We'll save that to the end then. Okay,
kinda,
so yes, the Flash. Understandable.
I kind of went in order of, like, how many seasons they've got.
Great. All right. So,
the Flash.
Okay.
My opening note was, wow, this is a fucking lot of exposition.
Really?
Yeah. It was a lot.
Maybe it's because I did, like, do you watch The Flash or did you watch any of The Flash?
Crossover episodes and things with Sarah Lance.
Okay, cool.
I know enough
expected.
About it that I can
kind of
I know
yeah.
who the characters are.
So,
like, I know the
I mean, like I said last year, yeah. So, like I said last year, I was an avid watcher of The Flash up until, like, 2 seasons ago, technically. Mm-hmm. But to me, it wasn't as much as it was before. It used to be so much exposition. They actually pared it down a lot, which I really did enjoy.
Oh, I thought this trailer, I was like, we are, this entire thing has been voiced over
well,
by
no,
one
it's,
thing
well,
and what the fuck. But it was like
right.
a lot of exposition.
It was a lot to go on because,
I was like, Jesus
yeah, and,
Christ.
Yeah, and it was better than the other ones because it wasn't Barry that was voicing it over, which I did enjoy, rather than be like, I'm the Flash. It's like, we know, you'd say it every single fucking episode that you're the Flash.
We got it.
But what I've noticed and what I've noticed in a lot of the DC trailers is, except for one, which is Arrow, I think there's a lot of similar themes going on of like the politicalness of today.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I mean, this one, is, I mean, like, it's like the plot of Humans Are Trash. You know,
I want to name our episode that. San Diego Comic-Con, Humans Are Trash.
However, every plot point of The Flash has been more of family. Of either if it's his adoptive family, his biological father, Iris, you know, his daughter.
His daughter, whose name I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's okay.
But,
You know his wife's name, so go us.
Go us. Who's his adoptive sister, too. So, but we're not going to get into that.
Wow, I didn't know that. Now I feel terrible. Yeah, everything is bad.
I never liked that storyline. However, it was really refreshing to see that they're not going down the literal same plot point.
Okay.
That they did have like a main villain that wasn't like not trying to like ruin like trying to like kind of get under your skin. It felt like it actually felt evil for once, you know?
Gotcha.
Which I did enjoy.
Funny thing that I really liked about this trailer, liked in like a hate kind of
right.
way, was that they had Jesse L. Martin, you know who that is, the actor, he was in Law and Order, Rent.
Yes.
You know him.
Yes.
He said to say the phrase law and order at one point in this. And I was like, you just.
Law and
like,
order. Dun, dun, dun,
I was
dun,
like,
dun,
how
dun.
On the nose.
Yeah,
to have
exactly.
Jesse L. Martin fucking say the phrase law and order.
Of course, of course.
That was honestly the only thing I liked about
okay.
this trailer.
Valid.
I don't know. This guy, like, I was like, is this bad guy, like, a new guy? Is he an do we know him? Like, I couldn't tell.
Like,
because
yeah.
he was talking like he's been watching the city for a long time, so
right.
I didn't know if he's one of those guys that they've been slowly building up for a long time.
Yes and no. Reverse Flash is, like, a really, like, he's kind of, like, have
is
you,
that
do you
what
know,
that
like,
guy's name is?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
yeah. So, you know, like, the Bizarro Superman
yes,
type stuff?
Do.
So, it's kind of like that, where he's, like, the literal opposite of
gotcha.
Flash. You know, Flash and
yeah.
Reverse Flash. And, so, it... That's what it's kind of coming off of. As far as I know, I don't quite remember. I
okay.
do think he
that's
was
okay.
like a major plot point, maybe like the
oh.
back half
See,
of
that
a season.
See, that would be good.
Which I think
I was
is
like,
very
he's
good
brand new.
Continuing on. But they do have like an issue of not having like an overarching through seasons type of like plot. They do have like plotted
DC
season.
DC has a problem,
yeah.
and that's one of it.
And so they don't like have a. They can't quite connect seasons, and I really hope that this is, like, a new time. Maybe they changed writers. I'm not sure. Again, don't pay attention to The Flash anymore. So, it's one of those things, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. Right.
What'd you rate it,
Kelsey? I wrote it 3 out of 5 just because I was a little surprised on how well I did, like, the plot moving from, like, the whole, like, family that they've been... stuck with for the past 4 seasons. So, yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
I rated it a 2.
Okay. Not as bad as I thought.
Right? I'm a little generous today.
You are. Good for you.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. And?
And on to the next one. Never
fabulous.
Gets old. Supergirl. Oh, Marianne's claim to fame.
Supergirl. I have a lot of things happening in my notes.
Yeah, same.
And in all caps, I'm gonna puke included because I was so emotionally torn up by this
yeah.
trailer.
I could completely understand as to why.
So again, like connecting to what Kelsey said, it's very like politically aware.
Right.
And Supergirl has always had that, like,
right. like
a connection
like
to, of the aliens to immigration kind of thing
right.
that they've always done. So, like, right off the bat, you're like, okay.
Right. But it does make me, like, a little uncomfortable, like, about the message that they're sending here about, like, the whole boomer mentality of, like, we're all connected to technology.
Oh,
and technology
yeah.
is bad and type thing. Like, that did really, like, put me off. Just
I
want to
see how they do
point.
It.
Yeah, I want to, like, that is, like, an really interesting, like, they could either do it really well or they can go really sour very fast. And...
It's the CW.
It's
who knows?
The CW.
And then, so, the voiceovers were, like, half Lena and half Kara.
Yeah.
And I was losing my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, season 5 or, like, season Luther? Because, really,
right.
like, they've been building up... Lena Luthor since season two, when they first introduced her in season two. And they've been, like, slowly building and building and building. And then they're, like, you know...
You have to have a climax somewhere. And this seems like they're going to really hit the breaking point. Especially... Because was it her when she, like, hit the, like, the glass of the picture frame? Was that Lena Luthor?
It sure was. That was Lena that punched Kara in the face.
Oh, cool.
Because she found out she's Supergirl.
Even better.
Which is something they always said. It's very interesting to me because this is something... When everybody watched the trailer, when everybody saw it at San Diego Comic-Con, everyone was very shocked because the writers had always said... We want Lena to write really like pretty much like never find out about Kara, and we're like, oh, well, she's a genius.
Yeah,
like literally like certified genius. Like she's already figured it out. Like, come on, give her some
context.
Like, come on,
yeah,
follow your own characterization. But they were always saying because they wanted Lena and Kara's friendship to never come into question. They always wanted that to be a strong backbone, like, and things like that. And they wanted Kara to be somebody that Lena could always feel supported by and vice versa.
Right.
Without her knowing about Supergirl, and they knew that that would tank that friendship. But now we're going to find out. And so I thought I like the clear like villain in Leviathan.
Oh, was that the dude like speaking or?
That was the third part. So first it was like Lena, Kara, and then went to him.
Yeah. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Does Supergirl have a too many villains problem like the Flash does? Like it's like episodic, or is it more like overarching?
There are some overarching because Lex just picked up. Like Lex Luthor just became bigger in the show.
Oh, okay.
And that's gonna follow through into this season for sure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They do some episodic, but
it's more. Not, it's more.
They do pretty good job of doing like a season big bad,
right?
Kind of like Buffy always used
to
do, where they'd have episodic things, but you'd be slowly building up things in the background. Like in season three, they had Rain, which was the friend that they knew, who ended up being like in Kryptonian, but she didn't know it. So, but they built up, like, they had smaller villains in between, and there was always her, like, overarching through the season. They don't usually do, like, a connection from season to season, which is okay. It doesn't have to be. I don't feel like they would need to be.
And especially when you're dealing with so much that's already going in the background, it really doesn't have to be. Like, sometimes it is nice to kind of, like, bring something
new.
Or bring something from the past into this, and play with the power dynamics that you have now because you've grown and now you can fight this thing and whatever.
And bringing in Lena, they've also been able to bring in like the Luthor family. So Lena's mom has always been a bad guy, and she's like
the Luthor family at itself, because especially like the
they've
super
come in different,
you know, Superman, Supergirl, Super whatever, Super
they
dog
hate
or
supers.
Whatever. Like they've always dealt with like family at a core concept. Like that's such a huge part of like the Superman comics and like Supergirl comics as well.
Yeah.
And like the whole like Kal-El type thing, like this is your family or this is your family, like family dynamics has always been a big thing then.
Yeah.
So so making like the parents evil too makes sense.
Yeah, so like Lita's mom is evil, just by herself. And then Lex is obviously evil in this. So, and Lena's always, like, the good Luthor. Like, she's doing all the right things, and she's trying to make up for all the bad things her family has done and all of this. And now that she knows that Kara's Supergirl, they've always said that they weren't going to make Lena evil either, but they always strongly allude to it, and I think it'd be a bad choice. Like,
it's okay to make your characters morally gray, but when you kind of introduce like hard evilness, it's hard to get out of that, especially in storytelling, at least as a watcher, because the fact that it's like you have to have the character grapple with like so much of their moral dilemmas, especially when they've never really been true evil from the beginning. Like you can have true evil from the beginning and then develop them into a good character if you do it well. But it's when a character is like morally gray, then goes true evil, it's hard to bring them back because of the fact that you have to have them grapple with all the shit they've done, and there's a lot of trauma like invested in that. So I feel like would be a bad choice as well.
Yeah, and just like you've spent all this time building up her as like, yes, she does. She was very anti-alien at the beginning, but then she has come around a lot in the past seasons, and like how to like, you know, she still like goes back and forth on those things, but you've never really made her totally evil or totally like siding with either side.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a good spot for her because she's really showing that she's thinking for herself and not as her family, but she's also not going to be easily impressioned by anybody else. Like she's really
like she's grown into her like her own essentially. Like she's understanding like where her background is, what her future is, but she's understanding right here, right now is what matters and we have to deal with this situation at hand.
Yep. She's got a new suit.
Yeah, it looks really good. I really like it, which is adult, you know? I mean, I hate to fucking say that because you can still be an adult and wear a skirt or whatever.
Yes, but no, it is.
But it's more mature, I should say. Mm-hmm. Because it's understanding that her character has gone from hero, but she's now this actual, she's always been a hero, but she's this hero archetype now.
Yeah.
Rather than this just hero character.
Right, right. She has bangs,
not a fan at aesthetic level, especially.
It's making me upset.
It's just, it's very, it makes it closed in. It's very claustrophobic looking. Personally, again, personal, wouldn't do it.
Just personal feelings.
Also, I would've kept the quick question. I'm not sure if this was like a recap or a new person. Why was Mystique?
Oh my god, yeah! I was like, is she fighting Mystique? Because I were like crossing.
Because I was like, oh, she looks exactly like Mystique with the blue suit.
So I have no idea who that is.
Okay, cool. People, if you know
who
that
Mystique looking person is,
at us, social media, at Too Many Trailers, TWO Many Trailers, or email us at TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's TWO Many Trailers at gmail.com.
Damn, what a plug, Kelsey.
What a fucking plug.
All right. What did you rate it?
Oh, my rate was 3.5 out of 5. I was very impressed with the trailer. It was really good, free-flowing. Mm-hmm. Again, really not my speed, not my type of show, again. But still, you know, I did a well-done trailer and I did enjoy it.
I gave it a 4 out of
5. Wow, reserved.
Well, I'm trying to be objective.
Okay.
So I didn't rate it out of 5 out of 5 because Lena had part of the voiceover and she's being the real character, which I easily could have, but I didn't.
You're an adult.
Everyone should be proud.
Everyone should be proud.
Is this personal growth?
All right, are we ready to move on to the next?
The next one?
I think so.
All right, so now we're going to
flow. Reserved.
I know, I love how we're like, play that loud obnoxious thing and we're like
and the next one
we're gonna just move quickly into
like we're like NPR hosts.
This
is NPR. do.
All right,
so
Black Lightning, which it took me an embarrassingly a long time to spell lightning correctly on my paper. I kept spelling it
L-I-G. God, what comes next?
I kept spelling it lightning. Like, and I was like, this isn't right.
Connecticut.
Yes. So I was like spelling it like you were lightening your hair. Like,
oh.
And I was like, this is wrong. And then I was like, but it doesn't make sense to just have an N there, but it's right.
Lightning.
Black All lightning.
Right. Yay, little stops that happen in the Connecticut region.
Woo.
Woo, accents. All right. So
this is season 3's trailer.
Okay, so this is how you do a long trailer.
This is, what the fuck? Why is this so long?
It didn't feel long to me. It was 5 minutes and 20 seconds. Did it feel long for you?
Oh my god, are we having a reverse fight?
Is this personal growth?
Let's just...
Okay, no, that's a
Let's just quickly reframe.
Okay, let's
last
this.
Year, we
okay,
watched...
It was like 9 fucking minutes long.
We watched a Walking Dead trailer that was 6-something minutes.
God, it felt like 20.
And Kelsey lost her shit. She was like, I can't believe you would release a trailer this long. This is so stupid. And I was like, that was the best 6 minutes of my life. I feel so prepared
to
watch
this
show.
Because the fact that it was not a trailer. It was a season preview. There is a difference.
This is pretty much a season preview.
But
this gives away
well
so much
done.
For the... I know, it was well done. But why is it 5.5 minutes?
I did say it, like, it could have been, like, it could have, they could have shortened it at least, like, 1.5 minutes.
Whereas my note is, this is fucking long and telling me everything.
Right, it's like...
I said, I love it because it's giving me a full picture, but it's
right,
too much.
It's, I think that it's, like, the opposite of what Arrow did, where it, like, put too much in.
Yeah, Arrow like, should have been long.
Arrow should have,
it's
yeah.
the series.
This, I mean, like, it was really good. I did enjoy the all the 5 minutes and 20 seconds of
oh,
it.
Oh, I did. I
However,
loved it.
Like, I think that, like... What's happened with this is that they should really leave some for the imagination.
Yes.
And like maybe kept a lot of good quotes, a lot
right.
of good action scenes, and then being like, all right, like, this is the main villain, like, this is, like, the main plot that's going on. Maybe we'll have this going on. Maybe we'll have some sexual tension going on between the two lab workers. And then, and then here it is.
Right. Enjoy. And also, I was like, why couldn't you cut down and make, a concise short trailer for every other show except for Black Lightning?
Right.
Because people aren't going to sit through the whole 5.5 minutes. That's what I was like. Okay. I was like, come on.
That's just valid. I think that, that's what I was again, I think what we have to understand, like, again, like, just like Arrow, this is for San Diego Comic-Con. So this is not going to be, like, playing on the CW commercials. Like,
could you imagine?
Like, oh my God, I would die. Be like, come on, get back to the show.
I'd be like, just show me the fucking show instead of this trailer.
This is why I watch my shows from the CW on Netflix. And so,
all right, so should we break down the trailer?
I didn't even. I was just like, it was great. I did enjoy it. I'm so happy the show still exists. But, I mean, I don't watch the show.
I need to watch the show, which is exactly what I said last year, and I promise I'm going to be better. okay, so I have some notes that I'll go through real quick.
Okay.
At the beginning, they hit the... So, because I thought it would be a 2.5 minute trailer, I didn't look at the time before I started watching it, so I was writing down notes, and then I was like, these are a lot of notes, like... It's like triple the amount of space.
Oh my God, that's as much as you do write more for that than you do for the actual trailers we watch, Mary.
It gave me 5.5 minutes of plot, that's why. Because I had 5.5 minutes of shit to write down. It's not like
valid.
It's like a second trailer, but with 3 extra minutes. That's what it is.
Alright, don't put our job in my face.
I really liked the writing behind him when he was sitting at the desk at the beginning in his classroom. I really liked when they pulled in the church and they had the call and response stuff happening because that's...
Oh, I loved that. It was so good. And right? I just it's like really like Black America and everything. Yes. And
like very church focused and like call and response things are very big in Black churches.
Yes.
And it was very like poignant to use.
And very like culture oriented, which I really enjoyed.
It was very aware of itself in this.
I mean like, hey, this is what show we are.
Yeah. Also.
Hey.
Really liked the music.
Yes.
Very like it was upbeat, which was nice because in DC it's usually like doom and gloom.
Exactly. As per quoting Deadpool, why do we have to be so fucking dark? Is this a DC movie?
Right. Exactly. I like the plot that they're gonna touch on this season, which is like how do you stay friends with a cop when you're a vigilante?
And I do like. I mean. Like the other
like
stuff,
that theme.
It was better, like, I felt like the theme was a little bit more undertone rather than the overtones that it was bringing in, like, The Flash or Supergirl or whatever. I thought this was a lot more well-written in terms of showing, like, okay, yes, there is going to be a political message, that is fine, but this is more of the undercurrent of what's going on rather than being, like, punched in the face with, like, technology is bad! type of thing. I'm sorry.
Kara also got punched in the face. That's why I'm just sad, because Lena punched her in the face.
That was a bad example.
But I really can't wait, because Kara let her. That's the whole thing, is that she's freaking made of steel. She shouldn't have moved at all. However, Lena pretty much knocks her to the fucking ground, because Kara lets her! I'm fine.
You're not, but okay.
Moving along. I really liked that there was a gay sex scene in this trailer.
Yes! Boom! Not that hard to fucking do, America!
Come the fuck on. So that was exciting.
Yes.
Check. Tobias, who was the bad guy last season, who I'm assuming is going to be like a series long...
Yes.
I think he's going to be like a series long...
Which I do, again, which I like, because it keeps the plot moving. Yeah. It understands, like, hey, this is, like, the bad dude, and we have, like, the good people.
Right.
And it's still interpersonal, and it's still, like, you know, diversity within race, which I still like, which I really enjoy.
But I hope they alluded to a little bit of his backstory, and I hope he has a really long backstory throughout this.
Like, yes,
I hope they're not just kind of start all dumping it now. Like, I hope
like
it's been
the first,
building.
Like, it's not like it's, like, the first, like, 30 minutes of the first episode is all of his backstory, then that's all we have to go on.
Right.
I like Marvel, where they kind of bring snippets of like the villain's backstory, because they
because
do
that...
humanize the villains a lot of the times.
Yes.
Sometimes
and also,
not for
it...
good, but... But, moving on.
But it's helpful because it helps you understand where they're coming from
and like
their
character direction.
And things like that.
Right, exactly.
So that was cool. I really liked the youngest daughter being like uncontrollable almost, yeah, and like the unstableness of her powers.
And that's generally like what happens with young, you know, with the young youngest heroes, because of, or young heroes too, because of the fact that
they don't understand their strength yet.
And they're the least looked after because of the fact that you're like, oh, fine, like we're good. We're good to look after you.
Exactly. But that's what I got.
Great. How did you rate it?
So here's the thing. I rated it, I put down a 3.
Okay.
Even though I really liked it, if they had cut it down, I would have had like a 4.5.
Yeah, yeah. It just, it was just fabulous. A smidgen. I mean, like, I wrote it like 3.5, but it was a stellar trailer. It kept my attention the whole time.
Yes.
There was action. There was like romance. There was like humor, which was great. And it really showed really like black culture within superheroes, which I still love. And I still need to fucking watch the show. You're like such a bad person. But
maybe we should start watching it together.
Yeah. Weekly. Let's do it.
Wow. Do we have time for that?
No, but we'll make it.
We'll do it. It's going to be great.
We'll be great.
Okay. All right. So, do you want to move on to the next trailer?
Let's move on to the next trailer. All right.
I hope everybody's enjoying that as much as we are.
We're thoroughly enjoying this.
We sure are.
But this will not be a permanent feature in the Too Many Trailers career. Only in San Diego Comic-Con trailer and their year in review.
I love it.
Beautiful. Chef's kiss.
That means you only have to bear with us for twice a year.
God bless you.
God bless.
Next up, Batwoman. Lots of thoughts.
So, initial feelings. I'm just going to get this out here right now. So, not a fan of Ruby Rose.
I mean, she's not my favorite. I don't know. She just, like...
She's there.
Yeah.
I just think that they definitely could have explored other options in terms of
100%
actresses for this role.
I think that especially... Okay, so here I go.
I'm ready.
So Batwoman is canonically a Jewish gay woman. Yep. And I think that bringing that into the light of that there are, you know, women of different faith who are also, you know, part of the LGBTQ community, would have been a wonderful way to cast a person, and especially in the CW. I mean, not to say, like, Ruby Rose is, like, a gay person. Like, she is. Like,
right, so right. Really happy about that.
Really happy that as, like, actually, like, casting a gay person as, like, in gay roles, which is wonderful.
Right, the CW has been doing pretty good with that.
They've been on a good track record.
They have Nicole Maines as Nia Nolan. Supergirl, and she's trans in real life and is trans character,
which is great.
We're working on it, but you got half of her identity, but not the other half.
Especially because I'm not really super familiar with the Batwoman. Like, people, you can email us. I'm pretty sure she's pretty like in touch with her Jewish faith, like in her comics.
Yes, and I was just reading up earlier because I wanted to be sure when we had this conversation.
Exactly, because it comes up. And I feel like that's a really important identity marker. It is. Especially in the Jewish faith, if people are like, yes, I'm Jewish, like, that is a thing. Because of the fact that, it's good representation, I feel like. And absolutely. Especially, like, good Jewish representation. And a lot of the times when you see Jewish representation on TV, it's really caricature-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not...
stereotypical, it's not
the greatest thing.
No.
I mean, you can just have a person who is Jewish and not be, like, something out of a 1940s Nazi handbook type thing, which is still, you know, being presented on TV. I see it a lot.
Absolutely.
Which...
anytime there's a Jewish character.
You know, it's like the nasally voice type thing. No matter male or female, it's like, hi, and I'm like, oh, can we, like, not do that? And it would be nice to have, like, someone, like, a little Jewish girl who can look up, and maybe a little Jewish gay girl who can look up and say, like, hey, cool, she's just like me.
Right.
And, yeah. But... that's just me. There are a lot of people who did not like the casting of Ruby Rose.
It was a very big split because, like, a lot of people were like, this is the greatest, blah, blah, blah. But then a lot of people were like, but we could have looked elsewhere.
I mean, like, if you're gonna look... If you're gonna look that hard, and especially because a lot of people, they don't really... When it comes to casting, and especially to really, like, search out for a gay woman who is, you know, playing a gay character, you're really looking hard. You could have done that extra step, personally.
Right.
You could have just been like, hey, we just, like, want, you know, gay Jewish actresses, you know, or, like, gay, you know, who have, like, some part of, like, the knowledge, because a lot of the times when presenting, they're like, yes, I'm Jewish. I'm like, you're clearly, you don't know the faith. And there's a lot of intricacies in the faith that, you know, especially, like, I think a lot more progress. I can't really say to more traditional parts of the Jewish faith, but I can't really say much the Jewish faith at all. I didn't grow up with a Jewish faith. However, you know.
But you're the closest out of the two of us.
Closest out of the two of us right now. And, I mean, especially, like, in the more progressive sects of Judaism and the Jewish religion, you know, it's more, a little bit more accepting.
Yes.
You know, than other religions. So
yes,
it would probably bring a really interesting gender dynamic and, you know, an LGBTQ dynamic to it as well, especially when understanding family and family dynamics, especially what this trailer plays a lot into. So I think we can get into the trailer now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It was very fast-paced.
Very fast-paced. It's a whole origin story.
It's literally an origin story in a trailer.
It's a 2.5-minute origin story, like, right there. And I feel like that could have been...
Do you think that that's because people are unfamiliar with Batwoman?
Because
the opening to every Supergirl episode is her being like, my name is Kara Danvers, I was sent from Krypton to protect my brother.
Well, that's the same thing with, like, cousin. The Flash. It's like, right. I'm Barry Allen, I was struck by, like, we fucking get it, it's the fifth fucking season.
Right, I know, but so, like, I wonder if that's why they did this, because people are so unfamiliar with her, perhaps?
I think more.
But I think we could have done it.
We could have done it in a better
even
way.
If, like, you were like, okay, I mean, we, like, need to really build on her, like, what who she is.
Yeah, the whole, like, cousin of Superman, like, excuse me, wow, the cousin of Batman is more of, like, a comics thing. So I understand, like, them like, saying that and everything, and then that's how she has access to all of this stuff, which is a weird thing because it's a lot of patriarchal bullshit that we don't have to get into right now about it. And so I think it's because people really just don't, they just like, she's Batgirl, rather than being like, no, she's like her own character.
Actually,
and she has her own, you know, backstories and
this,
like,
backstory, like, that they're building is like the, like, textbook from the comics,
yeah, which you don't quite see with, like, CW shows, because a lot of the CW shows, it's like, we're gonna mix it in with teen drama.
Right, no, exactly. Yeah. So I think this one might be
a little bit more, like, adult,
because Batwoman does start out when she's in her, like, mid-20s.
Which is kind of late, honestly.
It is.
Considering most superheroes are, like, born into it,
right.
Or, like... like, been in, like, their early 20s, like, when they're, like, young adulthood phase, and then, like, grow into their, like, character.
So, the backstory that you saw, like, you could see, like, her,
She's, like,
backstory
in,
backstory,
like,
of, like, that she got kicked out of military school is all from the comics, and, like, that's all the same, and that she goes to her dad, and her dad's like, no, you did the right thing. Like, you said that you're not gonna hide yourself for this, and blah, blah.
Right, and that is... completely understandable, and which is really nice to see, though, because you speak about this because this is not my thing to speak on,
but
as an ally.
But you can speak about it.
I can speak about it. Thank you for giving me permission.
Kelsey, so you can speak about it.
I know. But, like, you don't see that a lot in, like, LGBTQIA+ type of media, especially because of family approval is, like, very low,
and
especially coming from the father.
Right, you don't see close relationships between gay women, you don't see close relationships between queer women and their fathers.
Yes.
Like, ever. So the fact that she's, like, a queer woman that also has, like, a more androgynous presentation.
Then
she's also, like, got this really close relationship with her father. Like, hugging and things like that, which is hard to find anyway.
Which is rare in real life. And to see it represented on TV will probably make a lot of people happy.
It's
like,
great.
A lot
it's
of
good.
Good stuff is gonna come out of this. Like, don't
get
me wrong about my little rant in the beginning. But like, I think a lot of good stuff is gonna come out of it. I think with the right writing, I think it could really, like, flourish. I think if they have the right amount of people, like, kind of, like, balance in, like, the room, they can understand this, especially because there's a lot of, like, Asian representation as well in this trailer, in this show,
and,
as,
like,
well.
Just diverse representation, that her girlfriend's gonna be black.
Black, especially.
I was, like, at the beginning, I was like, is her girlfriend gonna be black?
You're like, I love this.
I was like,
interracial gay relationships I'm living.
Yep, pretty much. That was me. Yeah. Literally, my note is just like, I hope that's your girlfriend. And I was like, yes.
I think a lot of like my problems with this trailer specifically has to do with like the production value, and I mean, which I understand for like first seasons.
Yes.
And like kind of like the more technical aspects of the trailer.
But you know what was really good, despite those things?
Mm-hmm.
The music and the sound editing.
Oh, the music and sound editing was wonderful. That aside,
however, like
the technical side of it sucked.
However, if you hadn't been so fast-paced, those sounds wouldn't have stood out as much. Like when she was getting like repeatedly into fights, I was like, stop. I like how you're doing the sound for this, but you don't have to.
I felt like I was on cocaine during this trailer. Like it was like, whoa,
man. I know. Down. I was like, wow, you fit what we fit in 5.5 minutes of Black Lightning into 2 minutes of this.
Exactly.
And that was way too much.
The color correcting of this, where it's like super dark, and I was like, is this just to hide because you had no production value and you're just trying to hide?
Or are you being like, hi, this is a Batwoman thing. It's close to Batman, and we shoot things in the dark.
I fucking hope
that's
not.
Right.
Because of the fact that it was like totally like grayscale, like except for like the previous type stuff, like the backstory. That was like in like nice luminous yellow color,
right?
But everything else was like gray, black, and
no. I think a lot of it at the beginning, especially, is going to be very much in gray and black.
Yeah,
there was a lot of like light and stuff when she was with her dad in those scenes.
Yeah,
but otherwise, I was like,
it was like just like it was just like
dark.
Saturated, and I was like, god damn it. And it would have been nice if she. Well, okay. The red hair would have been a nice contrast because
she's
in the comics.
Did you see at the very end they had the thing with her and the red hair?
Oh no, I did not.
So I think she's gonna use it as part of her disguise in the future.
Nice. Okay, that makes me a little bit happier in terms of just comics.
Yes, and I have a feeling that because people are gonna think she's Batman, and then she's gonna be like,
I am a woman.
Look at my hair. If I have long hair, it must mean I'm a woman.
Yeah, I was just about to say. I was like, that's a weird thing.
But I think that's what they're gonna do.
Which makes sense, but they can also probably do it a little, hopefully, better.
But here we are,
just critiquing a trailer.
That's all we do. That's our job.
That is our job.
Side hustle.
Right.
What'd you think?
I mean,
I did
just based off the technical aspects alone, I gave it a 2.5. Okay. I mean, I have my reservations about this. I mean, it's only a first season. They can only get better by, like, the writing as
you
it goes on. You know, I do think that it's going to be, like, a good show, don't get me wrong. I just think that they probably have a lot of kinks to work out.
Yes,
but so
absolutely.
I think that maybe in the second half of the season it might get a little better, and they'll probably understand what the show is and how to kind of mold it into the show they want to become. So that's only for me. So
yeah.
2.5 out of 5.
I gave it a 3.
Okay, valid.
Just because I really liked the themes that we're going with, and I liked how close it is going
to
be to
the comics.
Like, at least what it's looking like right now, it will be to the comics,
right.
Which is really great. But it was really fast-paced. It showed way too much of the plot. It had way too much exposition.
Right.
I was like,
There was a lot going on that could have just been, if like someone else just like sat down and reviewed it.
Right.
Before, like, sitting
they
out.
Were like, they could have been like, yo, you don't need to tell us how she's related to Batman yet. We can discover that
like,
later.
Or we can, like, understand that by, like, just context clues. But again, this is Comic-Con. This is probably in their last bit. They're probably just like, we gotta get this the fuck out of there. Like,
yeah, we gotta get this ready. And they were probably like, Marvel has way too much stuff. You just need to make sure it's got everything. So it's good.
So it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, then we'll come back, we'll discuss... next segment for our Marvel segment, and then, oh my god,
It's all right, I'm good, we're going to be great.
We're going to be fine. All right, so we're going to take a break.
We're back from our break. So quickly, I forgot to sum up that Legends of Tomorrow, the other show in the Arrowverse on CW, did not get a new trailer.
Tisk.
I'm upset about it. They were not guaranteed a next season as early as everybody else was, so they're not going to be starting their new season until January 2020, which is why they don't have a new trailer, but that sucks because... Like, it's the only...
They could have at least done, like, a teaser. Like,
right, and it's, like...
Throw the costume or whatever.
It's a queer-led show.
Yeah.
Which I'm, like, bitch, I will fight you. Do you know how much we've been fighting for our shows this year? Like, this is a bad time.
This is a bad year, people.
This is a bad year to try and do this. But it's also just really interesting, because also CW, like, doesn't highly market Legends of Tomorrow.
They don't like the show.
But it's funny because that's what they used as their, like, their fan giveaways was, like, a tote bag with all the Legends of Tomorrow that's people so on weird. It. But, like, in cartoon form, which was really cute and, like, related to the show. So I was like, so everybody on Twitter was really mad because everyone was like, why are you giving out this fan merch when you don't even support this show this much?
Right.
Rude what? AF. So they didn't have a new trailer, but also Katie Lutz, who's the main star, she plays Sarah Lance, was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, so it's just interesting that that's the show that didn't get a trailer or a lot of attention at San Diego Comic Con.
But yeah, here we are.
Here we are, back at square one, where you suck with queer representation.
I gave a 1 out of 5 on your Arrow trailer, because it sucked.
Because you suck.
That was unintentional.
But it worked, because we're going to flow right into Marvel.
My space. All right.
I'm ready.
Are you ready? I'm not ready. So, Marvel was back at Hall H again, which is a big thing because they weren't there last year, or they weren't really, like, they were there for Black Panther, which was great. They debuted the trailer there with the fan reaction and everything. But generally, when they're there, they can't really speak of anything because of the weird spoilerness of Marvel.
Right.
Moving on. You can this hear year, that argument in, critiquing the Things You Love episode where we talked about Avengers Endgame. Anyway.
Yeah. So Marvel was like, here, we have a shitload of announcements.
And like, remember Kevin Feige was like, and we can't talk about it all, so bye.
I know. But it was funny because Kelsey and I had expected a lot of the Disney Plus, which is going to be Disney's new streaming service. And since Marvel is owned by Disney, they will be moving over there
for their new shows, probably in a couple years. Once the Netflix deals are up, they'll be hopefully bringing back like the
everything else,
like the Defenders type of shows.
But so we expected some announcements, but this was like triple the amount that I expected.
I didn't expect them to go through Phase 4. I mean, I knew that they were gonna. I had a feeling that they would do some Eternal stuff. Just because it was, like, at that point where it's like, okay, so, like,
this is where they fit.
This is where they, it makes sense, like, a lot of the stuff, like, made sense. I wasn't expecting a lot of the Doctor Strange announcements to come through. I wasn't expecting a lot of the cast announcements to come through. Very happy that they did, though. A lot of the actors and actresses and, actors who are non-binary, I don't know if they are, I'm just gonna say it, but there is so much
diversity.
It is so nice to see
in both our casts and our like writers, directors.
Yeah, and it's just like it feels so nice. And I think I read something where it's like where everyone's like, well, why did it take like Phase 4? Apparently, the person who originally was in control over the Marvel like planning did not like the diversity aspect. I should say, to put it lightly, and and then Kevin Feige took over control around, like, I want to say, like, Phase 3-ish. And I think that's where, you started to see Black Panther. You started to see a little bit more and more coming through the cracks. But this is really his, like, phase.
Yes. So, and all of the Disney Plus shows and all the movies will be overseen by Kevin Feige.
That is so nice because I heard that because of the Netflix shows, they actually did really, like, feed into like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
This apparently a lot of the Disney Plus will feed into the Cinematic Universe of Phase 4. So Phase 4 not only includes the movies, but it also includes the TV shows. So
yes, because they are going to because historically yes, the Netflix shows and like ABC's Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have not been able to like interchange at all.
I mean, like they were very lucky to get like Colby Smothers like on the show.
Yeah, Colby Smothers and like a few other small things that were able to go back.
Yeah,
and forth, but
exactly.
Very small and not a lot.
It was more so that the movies were dictating the show rather than the show being a part of like the things.
So I have a quick list of just Phase 4 announcements and the Disney Plus
show. And I will be offering my opinion.
Yeah. I don't have
off the cuff. I don't have any notes for this, just because I would be stuck not doing my job at work.
Yeah.
So I needed to just go off the cuff. So
it's okay.
Unfiltered.
All I did was pretty much like write down what they are and when they're coming out.
Yeah.
So Phase 4 is going to kick off with Black Widow.
Oh, thank God.
It's only been 84 years.
So this movie has been like in development for like 700 years.
It's because they've tried it over and over.
Yeah, and especially because like Black Widow has such a long history, so it's hard to kind of like
figure out where you want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really hoping it's based off the Phil Noto series, where it kind of goes through between. I know that it's supposed to be part of the more of her backstory,
yes,
where it's like more like
almost,
in the past.
It's going to be like almost
exclusively.
An
well, it has to be in the past. I'm
that
hoping
was
that.
Hurtful.
I'm so
it's
sorry.
Okay. It's okay. It was just like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But
no, you're right. Yes, it
but,
has to be in the
oh,
past.
I really hope that Phil Noto, he's one of my favorite, like, I think he wrote the Black Widow series, like, of those short-lived, I think there was, like, 15 or so issues of it, and it's one of my favorite characterizations of Natasha, where she, like, kind of goes back to Russia, like, and, you know, the Winter Soldier is involved. It kind of, like, touches on the Red Room a little bit, but it's more, like, of this, like, conspiracy within this greater scheme of things, which is very Marvel-like, and so...
Yeah. I think this is going to be... I don't know exactly how Red Room focused, but it's going to be very
right.
heavily...
It's like 90s... I 100% think that I'd be surprised if they don't make a Captain Marvel reference in this movie. Just because of the fact that it will probably be, like, late...
I don't know, because none of the other Avengers have really popped up yet, so there's nobody to really introduce her.
No, I'm just saying, like Nick Fury, like, would be like, oh, Captain Marvel.
I don't know if they're gonna, I don't know if she's gonna meet Nick yet.
No, not,
I don't know if they're gonna even go
oh,
into
oh, is this just, like, purely, like, in Russia?
It could be.
That'd be fucking sweet.
I don't know if it's gonna, like, end
be
on her with Renner, but, like, Jeremy Renner hasn't been confirmed for this, and neither has anybody
right,
else.
Right, because, like, a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it's gonna deal with Budapest and stuff, because that's been, like, such a long fucking joke that they haven't referenced in fucking Avengers 1, but that's beside the point. Okay. However,
But I don't think it's gonna be that.
Oh, interesting. I think it's gonna be more, like...
I think it's gonna be her...
Kind of like in between
the Red Room.
That's
and
what I think.
I think it's gonna be like post her training in the Red Room and on actual things, and maybe like towards the end it'll be starting to get.
That's what I think. I think it's gonna be more like her time just coming out of the Red Room, like you just said.
Yep.
Dealing with leaving the Red Room type situation, or and then kind of coming into like the whole Russia versus America play. You know, probably, like, in, like, the mid to late 90s, I want to say, would probably be a good, like, at least, like, theme. Like, a good setting.
I don't know.
It'd be, I'm excited to see where this movie goes.
So am I. I'm so, so, so excited. Yes. And there's a female director.
Yes.
And so it's coming out May 1st, 2020 is when it's slated
for. Oh, okay, so it's its usual, like, May release, which is good.
Yep. Rachel Weisz is going to be in it.
All right.
Love her.
She always plays a gay role.
So if she plays a gay role in this,
you
I
would
will
die. And you'll burn the DVD because you'll be watching it so much.
Yeah.
It would just combust in the DVD player.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. And then the next show that is slated after The next movie that is slated after that is going to be a November 2020, and that's Eternals.
Yay! I'm so excited! I know nothing about this, but I'm excited for
it. I know nothing about it, but there's going to be a female Asian director. The writers are the Firpo cousins.
Excuse me?
What's their last name?
Okay.
I don't know. It appears to me that they are of Asian descent, but I could be wrong. I spent a lot of time on the internet earlier trying to figure out what their ethnicity is, but
So this movie is led by Angelina Jolie, who is a huge fucking grab for Marvel. Holy shit.
Right. And then the rest of the cast is super
so
diverse.
Amazing. So there's
Salma Hayek.
Kamal Nanjiani, one of my favorite actors. He's hysterical. He's a great comedian, too. But he's been recently coming up the game with more film roles and everything, especially coming out of his big lead with The Big Sick. I think him and his wife wrote that film, and they won the Oscar for it as well. He was also recently in the new Twilight Zone. He actually got an Emmy nomination for that, which I'm really happy for because that was a wonderful episode. And then we have a black and deaf superhero. And black and playing by a well, actually the superhero is white male and deaf. Yes. The person playing it is a black female deaf person, and she primarily speaks spot, in yes, and she primarily speaks in ASL, which is chef's kiss, amazing.
I know.
Which I'm so excited. I'm not really sure about the rest of the cast, but it seems great.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it looks amazing.
It's like a huge, huge movie. Oh, Richard, he was in Game of Thrones. He plays like a gay superhero.
Oh, cool.
And I think it's like the first confirmed gay superhero as well in
Valkyrie.
She was just confirmed as well, though.
I know, but
technically yes, we are. But like, I know. But okay, in terms of Marvel, the first outwardly written gay character in Marvel's
I'm just mess.
I know.
It's fine. I'm fine.
But she was confirmed bisexual, so that's great.
I know. We're gonna, don't worry. We're gonna get to that.
Yes.
Okay. The next movie that's slated is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. I know nothing about this.
Nothing about this.
It's slated for February 2021.
Interesting. February.
I know.
That's a weird, interesting time of release.
But that's when they released Black Panther also.
That is true. That is, you know what? You got me there.
So they got Simu Liu is going to be the main character. Yep. He's the first like Asian lead of any Marvel thing.
Yep.
You might know him from Kim's Convenience Store.
Yep.
And then Awkwafina.
Awkwafina.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. She's so happy. Great. She fucking deserves it. She is an amazing actress. If you haven't seen Crazy Rich Asians or more recently The Farewell, which is just coming to theaters soonish, she's an amazing actress.
Amazing.
She's amazing. Across the board, just amazing. And it's pretty much all Asian actors, correct?
Yep.
Awesome.
They have nothing confirmed as far as directors, though.
That's fine.
That's fine. It's okay. They got time.
See it. They have time.
The next movie announcement was Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is coming out May 2020.
Does this mean you get to have to watch Doctor Strange?
It means the director for this wants to make it into like a horror movie.
I'm so happy they're going back into themed because okay. Everyone knows how much I love The Winter Soldier, but it's also because of the fact that it's also a movie that's not just a superhero movie, it's actually a political thriller, and it works really well. And to understand that it's not just action, that it's actually a more understanding of like what genre play is, which is really great, and especially because a lot of comics do that where they're like it's a horror themed comic. And I think this is really important in terms of filmmaking and pacing and understanding a creative target, and I think that's a really good great leap that they're doing again.
So what they've said so far, the only thing that they've really said is that that the WandaVision show that will be on Disney Plus is going to lead right into this.
That's really interesting.
It's going to go like immediately into it.
Did you read what the WandaVision show?
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So then that's coming out May 2021.
Yeah.
And then the next one is Thor: Love and Thunder.
I'm very excited for this.
November 2021.
Yes. Which is perfect because Thor always generally comes out in like a November slot.
So Natalie Portman as the Mighty Thor. Holy shit.
Yes.
Valkyrie as the King of Asgard, saying that she needs a queen.
So happy.
And Taika Waititi is writing and directing.
Oh, thank God. So a lot of people, I think, were mad that Natalie Portman was playing Thor.
Yes.
I think a lot of people expected Chris Hemsworth to play Thor again, and I think they were a little sidelined, but womp womp, too bad. I'm so fucking excited. Following comics, the only thing that would make it better was actually if Valkyrie. I was actually really hoping if Valkyrie
was going to take over
Thor, and I honestly completely forgot about how Jane Foster becomes the next, like technically becomes the next Thor. Yes. I was just so focused on Valkyrie, but I am very happy. This is a good. It is literally following the comics.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
And then Blade.
Oh my God.
With Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali is such a good. Fucking choice. Such a good fucking choice. Back-to-back Oscar winner.
Yeah.
He is such an amazing actor. And plus, he's a black lead. Especially, they're not whitewashing the character. They could have 100% been like, and Blade is some white dude.
Because they'd be like, we did diversity everywhere else. Let's do it again. let's get rid of it.
Yeah, no, but Blade is such a great fucking movie. If you have not seen the original, it's actually amazing. But I'm very happy that Mahershala Ali, he's a wonderful pick. He plays such a diverse, like a wide-ranging actor, I should say. He really knows the script, and he'll do amazing in this.
Yeah.
It was such a great fucking pick. Yeah. Claps to you, Marvel, for
good
this.
Good job.
Good fucking job.
So that's literally all the information they had about Blade, though, that they announced. That's right. They were like, we have Mahershala Ali, and everybody died. Yeah. And then they were like, we have nothing else. Don't worry. We don't have the writer, director, or a date. But we have Mahershala Ali.
But, like, I think, like, what...
And everybody was like, that's fine.
But, like, that was at the end, literally at the end of Hall H. And he was like, yeah, we forgot to talk about Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, all the things that are coming out next.
Yeah, so Black Panther 2 is going to be... They don't know, they don't have dates for...
Well, they already, like, slotted up for, like, a year and a half in advance.
They said post-2021 for both, for Black Panther 2, Guardians 3, and Captain Marvel 2.
That's a little long.
That's too far.
That's
my only thing that I was like, ooh, you can't do it that far.
Because people, honestly, as much as, like,
you're gonna lose,
they're going to lose the traction on it, they should probably switch a couple, just...
Yeah, they need to...
They need to kind of, like, understand their faces.
They need, yeah,
because I can't be phase 5. That'd be way too long.
Right. So technically, that would be like the end of phase 4. And I'm like, you can't put the things that have been in phase 2 at the end.
Right.
Of phase
exactly. Three. Like, it'd be like wild.
The only things that got confirmed that way were that Ryan Coogler will be the writer and director of Black Panther 2. James Gunn will write and direct Guardians 3.
Good, because he was so good with the other ones. I mean, and I understand like his controversy, but okay, cancel culture is bad.
Yes.
To a point, you know. Alright, anyway, moving on.
Captain Marvel 2 has no confirmed writer or director yet. And that's
it's understandable if they're just like...
first one.
Yeah.
Alright, so now the shows. First one that's going to come out is Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh, I'm so excited!
Spring 2020.
That's, oh my god, it was supposed to come out in August. That means that they're probably done filming it then.
I don't know. It's going to air next spring.
Okay, so if... You didn't, if you closed your eyes or walked out of Endgame, you don't know. Sam Wilson is the new
character. You walked out in the middle of Endgame. I love that so much.
Sam Wilson is the new Captain America, thank the fucking Lord. Also, following the comics.
Yep.
Sort of, you're kind of jumping over a point, but that's fine. It's the right choice. So basically, this is following the team of Bucky and Sam Wilson, mm-hmm. Kind of in modern world. They haven't really shared much information as to what, but the logo is fucking great.
Yes.
They are, as much as, like, Sam Wilson deserves a shield, and he, you know, Anthony Mackie came out holding a shield. I cried. Everyone cried. We're all good. However, I do like the notion that they're a team. Yeah. And that the logo was like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and it had the shield right in the middle. Perfect. Love it. Great.
Yep. The only thing that they also said was that Zemo will be in it.
Yes, which makes
Captain
sense
America Civil
because
War.
He was such an integral...
And he didn't die.
No, he didn't.
Like, when he didn't die, I was like, you're
going to
be
back. But he's such an integral part to Bucky's, like, storyline you know, the Captain America storyline, too. He's such a, like, deep player.
Yeah.
And bringing
absolutely.
In, you know... Sam Wilson to fight him as well is wonderful because it's like the new versus the old.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. The showrunner is going to be Malcolm Spellman, and he's the producer from Empire.
Oh, good.
And Empire's going to do great. The next show that'll come out after is WandaVision, and that's going to air in spring 2021. The showrunner is named Jack Schaefer, so I was like, okay. And then I IMDb'd her. She's a girl, and I cried.
Love
I was like,
it.
A female showrunner for a like a partially female driven show. She wrote the movie The Hustle, which like was
okay,
not great, but like she's written something
and
with comedy. So I'm hoping to bring in a little bit of lightness to this because WandaVision and stuff tends to be very
and from what I've heard, it's actually supposed to be a little darker than usual.
Yes, and I think it will be a little bit darker, but I'm hoping that because she's written something comedic that we'll be able to bring in
some
levity
to the weirdest fuck show that's going to be happening. One thing I think you missed with the Winter Soldier and the Falcon Winter Soldier show, there is a female director for all 6 episodes, I believe.
Oh, okay. It didn't have...
As far as I know, I think I read it somewhere, things could have changed, but as far as I know.
Yes. I was not sure where to believe information from, so I was like, I think this is right. And then for WandaVision, the only other person that they released, information was that is that Monica Rambeau.
Yes.
So Carol,
yes.
Maria Rambeau's daughter from Captain Marvel will be on the WandaVision show, so I'm very interested to because see how that's going to
be. Because I heard that it's based off, I think, the Vision comics, where he brings everyone back to, like, 1950s, and where he's like, I want stable family in white America. So it'd be, like, interesting to see, like, I'll keep my eye out for it. I probably, like, will be like, oh, I might, like, scoot out, but hopefully
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, you'll tell me. I'll definitely be watching all about it.
And then the next show that will come out will be Loki.
If you're a Loki fan, great. Power to you. You'll love this show. I mean, I'll watch it just because of the fact that
I'd like to see character development.
Yeah, I'd like to see character development. I heard that he might go to the 1950s, so he heard
what if we're all going to meet each other in the 1950s?
Steve? No, that was the 1970s when they went.
No. I mean, WandaVision.
Oh, interesting. Because we'll definitely
Loop these all in.
Oh, they 100%.
Now that they're all under the same thing, they can loop into each other. They can loop into the movies.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah, you're right. It's gonna be insane. It's actually what it is. Like,
I'm gonna have to like catch up with all these shows, and I'm like, my brain's gonna explode.
And then the What If series.
I'm excited for this.
It's gonna be animated.
Oh,
that's what it said.
I was like, oh man, I wanted to see Hayley Atwell in a Captain America uniform like this. Okay.
I don't know if I can understand
as to budget reasons why they did that.
They definitely change it. It's not coming out until summer 2021.
No, they have to start drawing it like now.
No, I know, but I'm thinking if they're like thinking about going back on it, they still have a little bit of time.
Right. I mean the animated stuff, like, I get it, especially if they want to do like more creative type things where it's like, what if Bruce Banner was in the 60s and like or like,
okay.
But I know that Hayley Atwell is confirmed to be the Captain America What If, which I'm so excited about.
Because I love that picture that I've had for a very long time.
I know, as Captain America, and I love it. I'm crying. Okay.
And then after that, the last thing that they have slated is the Hawkeye series, fall 2021, and it's gonna be Renner is gonna be in it. But I'm like, dude. This is a lot of
They're
years.
They're probably like filming it now and then like editing it and like waiting. But
yeah, no, it's gonna introduce Kate Bishop.
The logo makes me happy.
Yes.
Just because of the fact that it might be following the Matt Fraction or the Matt Fraction like spin-off type comic of the Hawkeye series, which makes it more gonna be like, oh, it's gonna be more of the like the comics Clint that we're used to.
Yes.
That we know. Which, God, I fucking hope so. I just wanna see Clint, you know, drink out of a coffee pot with coffee and pet Lucky and feed him pizza, and I just want comics.
That's all I want. Okay, and that's everything for our Marvel announcements.
We just fucking ripped through that.
I know.
Oh my god. We're gonna take a little break, and then we'll finish off with our last two trailers of His Dark Materials and 21 Bridges. And we're back. It's a 3D experience, people.
Kelsey's just like, you know what? This is her last coming in from the break. I'm gonna make a count.
I'm gonna fucking make a count.
All right, so we have two more trailers to discuss, and then we promise we'll leave you alone.
We love you, but not that much.
I know. And we also love ourselves. Yeah. This is why we are practicing self-care
awareness.
Personal growth.
Yeah, it is 10:30 and I'm eating some popcorn, so personal care.
Everything is, it's all great.
Everything's fine.
So the first trailer we're going to talk about is for a new show coming to HBO and BBC. It's called His Dark Materials. It's based off of the book. Mm-hmm.
Books. There's like three books to the series.
Okay. Books are fine. It's okay. I'll do the behind. I did some quick.
Thank you, because I did not do shit.
And you...
Can I eat my popcorn?
No, yeah, literally. I was going to say, you eat your popcorn. I'm going to do this real quick. So it's written by... The books were written by Philip Pullman, and it's show has been adapted by Jack Thorne, who is also adapting The Secret Garden to a movie, which will be interesting. It's been adapted 1,000,000,005 times before, but that's okay.
Like in the late 90s, there was like that one movie.
Yeah.
That was The Secret Garden. Oh, so good. So good.
Jack Thorne wrote Wonder, or adapted that from the book also. And then he's done a lot of British stuff.
Didn't that get an Oscar nomination?
Wonder? I don't know if the actual film did, but I think it's gotten some.
Like the writing? I thought the adaptation might have gotten...
Oh, you're right. It might have for the adaptation. Good job, Jack Thorne. Doing great.
Good job.
He's done a lot of TV miniseries, which will be good because I think that this is going to be slated more like that with longer episodes and things like that, just knowing HBO and BBC.
Yeah.
But then a lot of British stuff like Skins and The Faves.
Rainbow Connection.
I like that I didn't even have to put my hands up for that. Kelsey was just like, here we go. I mean, we've been talking about a lot of gay shit.
Yeah.
But...
retroactive Rainbow Connection.
Thank you, Kelsey.
You're welcome.
But yeah, so he wrote a lot of Skins, which is great. There's no composer listed, and I don't know if that's because it's by BBC and they never show things in Europe with their composers, or if they don't have one yet.
No, you know what? Most of the movies
every single movie that we've had that hasn't been from America has had no composer listed on IMDb. You know what? It makes my life hard.
Equal rights for composers, right? In Europe.
And I didn't write down a lot of the main players, but
Lin-Manuel Miranda, isn't it?
I know, so excited about that. Oh, and then so James excited. McAvoy.
Yes, yes.
So that's gonna be great. And then Daphne Keene, who, if you don't remember her, she's the main girl. She was the girl on Logan.
Oh my god, that was her. She looks so different.
I like saw her face and I was like, I know you and I think you were her, but I'm not sure. And it was, and I remember, she was phenomenal in Logan. So I'm really, like, and...
One of the best. It was, like, really amazing.
It was an amazing performance that she gave. And so I, like, have no doubts that she's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
She's going to fucking kill it. And,
right?
Yeah.
She's going to...
Especially, like, HBO knows talent. Like, they see it, and they can see it flourish, and they can see the projected, you know, acting as well. So she has it.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be good. Like from the trailer, it's like gonna be another show with like really strong kid roles, like where you're getting like an equal amount of like really strong adult roles, but also strong kids roles that are developed, which is always nice.
Yeah, because you don't see like a lot of like a lot of the kid roles you see are mostly just being like,
and Johnny
likes to play. Like it's not like really like there's no depth to it.
Exactly. So I think that this is gonna have a lot of depth.
Especially because of the fact that this book is, the book itself is actually from the perspective of the girl.
Right.
And not so much like the first person perspective, as far as I remember, it's more like third person POV, but still a perspective of her.
Yeah.
And, or it could be first person, I don't know, it's from the perspective of the girl no matter what, so.
And have you read the books?
I've read the first book and half of the second one.
Okay. I've read none of it.
They're good. There's a lot in it. There is. Okay. It's very like Latin with like imagery and symbolism in terms of politics, which makes 100% sense why it's on HBO. Because it's like a fantasy-ish type world that also has politics play in it. And especially it has like a lot of character dynamics of politics within, not only in politics itself, but also gender dynamics. So
yes, a lot of that I could... And also, it was just interesting that it was very good timing that they were talking about how this show is about, like, kids were in cages. And I was like,
it's literally one of my, it's dealing with real life problems in the politics of today. Especially, like, human, and especially, like, also it deals with, like, human trafficking and child trafficking and sex trafficking of children, technically, which I thought was a very adult thing for a kid's book. So this book is technically, it's like for young readers. It's not, I mean, it's an adult book, but it deals with very like young children trying to defeat this one thing.
Right.
And it's very old. And then having this like quote unquote kids thing, I mean, I guess knowing now it's really not as childish as one would think. There's a lot more depth to it. Maybe it's just what they've written, but it's just interesting to see, you know, historic materials, which is like young adult book technically, put onto HBO and, you know, main be probably like BBC One, which is like the big series type thing channel in England, is such a bold move. And it could probably, because it's like has those deep political messages, I can understand why it's on HBO.
And they're gonna be able to do so much more than they would have been able to on any other network.
100 And the CGI is fucking amazing.
Right? I was saying the cinematography in this is so amazing. Good. That's really what stuck out to me a lot.
Well, especially like the feel like this, the when they work in like the Alps and everything.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that, so a lot of the his dark materials, they deal with, like, you have your own personal daemon, which is, like, essentially, like, a your part of your soul, but it comes in, like, the form of an animal. Gotcha. So, like, a lot of the times, like, they can control them with your mind, but they, if you hurt them, they also hurt you. Mm. So a lot of the times when you, like, saw her, like, saw Ruth Wilson, I think it's, she's, like, killing, like, the ferret, and, like, it's also killing her, and, like, that's... So there's a lot of, like, fantasy play in it, but it also, it's dealing a lot with, like, personal struggle, which I really, and, like, I thought was really, like, well-balanced, I feel like, because it, like, showed the ability, but also showed, like, the non-ability of it, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people of color cast in fantasy, which is the one of my main criticisms of, Game of Thrones, especially it's people of color that are not cast in, like, diminutive roles as well. They're actually, like, mm-hmm. roles of power, which I really enjoy. I mean, obviously, we still have issues. Like, it's not perfect. It will never be perfect. But it's a better track that...
It's better.
That's better than it was.
Yep.
So, I did like that.
The music was really
so
good.
Amazing. So amazing. I really got lost in this trailer.
Yeah, I, like, couldn't even write notes. I was just like, the cinematography, the music.
Like, this is a show I can watch, like, once a week. Like, sit down, and which is saying a lot, because I do not like to do that anymore.
Now that we can binge, why would you not?
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I think it's going to... I think that the moving, like we were talking about, the moving to HBO and then the BBC One is going to be a great choice. Like, I hope that they're going to format it as a miniseries, because I think that's going to be what works best for them, having the longer episodes.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to cram things into shorter episodes, having, like, the space to do 12 long episodes.
Right, or, like, let it have, like, let the story flesh out in whatever amount of minutes. It can be 42 right. minutes, it can be 75 minutes. Don't, like, put pressure that it has to be X amount of minutes, because it will limit the creativity of the show.
Yeah.
If it's an hour and a half, it's a fucking hour and a half.
Exactly.
They showed, like, a lot of the conflicts and positive moments in less than 3 minutes. Really, really A-plus trailer.
Yeah.
HBO knows their shit. I'm not gonna, like, put any, like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Like, HBO knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, trailers.
Yeah.
100%.
Fabulous.
Great.
Okay.
What'd you rate it?
Rate it right now. I'm gonna rate it a 4.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Out of 5. Like, it was really well done. I wish that some of the plot points kind of were aimed towards if you hadn't read the books. Does that kind of make sense?
It makes sense, because a lot
like
of the
I was like, I don't know where we're starting.
Like, exactly. Like, when, especially when you met, like, the polar bear. I forgot his name, but, like, he's a big part of, like, the plot, but you're like, wait a minute, like, so now we're dealing with, like, animals on their
right.
own?
Like, so there was a little bit of, like, it was a little hard
that
to follow
been,
as
like,
something, but I was so impressed by everything else that it would kind of fill in the background that I was, like, not
you'll
following.
Be fine. Like, you'll be fine. Like, a lot of, like, like we said before, it's more of a trailer for fans, but it understands its audience that not a lot of people have read this, or probably have just seen, like, the movie, the really shitty movie, The Golden Compass.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that so that's like part of the Philip Pullman. Like, His Dark Materials is like the overarching like trilogy, and so it understands that this will probably be more than one season. So
okay.
On to the next.
What'd you rate
it? Yeah, 5 out of 5. It was just amazing. I thought it was an amazing trailer. Pacing was really good. Cinematography was great. Understanding, like, this is a politics play, but, like, look, animals. And so it was, like, fun.
I
really
did
enjoy it. So 5 out of 5 for me.
Okay.
On to the next.
And? Love it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So the next trailer we did was for the film 21 Bridges, which is going to star Chadwick Boseman.
Woo!
And then Stephen James.
Oh my god.
From Beale Street and Race.
I thought I recognized him. I was like, who are you?
I know. I was like, it took me a minute, and I was like, why can't I think of who you are? And then I found him, and I was very pleased. The screenplay and story are by Adam Mervis, who has written, like, some short films.
Makes sense.
Yep, pretty much. And then it was... So it said the screenplay and story by him, and then written by Matthew Michael Carnahan, who wrote, like, World War Z, So he's written some other films. So I don't know how much if they worked together or if that was his original idea and Adam Mervis kind of took it and wrote the screenplay of it, but whatever. The composers are, there's two composers, a more senior person and a less senior person again, which is good. I like that a lot. So Alex Belcher did the, was a composer for Aya, which was a film with Anthony Mackie.
Yes, it is.
And he's been on the music department of some other films and stuff, but that's his only real composing credit. And then Henry Jackman is the other composer. He did Detective Pikachu.
Yes, my man.
which means that he also did, Henry Jackman has done films like Captain America Civil War.
That's why I was like, I know you.
He did Kingsman, Ralph Breaks the Internet, The New Jumanji. He's done a lot.
Okay.
A wide variety. So again, we see kind of this pairing a newer composer with an older composer.
Which I do like.
I love that idea.
Which I do like. So
I love it. So I hate, and I don't know if it's in the video you saw, but it was in the one that I saw, where they do the opening, like, this is the trailer for 21 Bridges or whatever.
I don't think I don't, okay. Yeah.
Mine that I watched had, like, that 3-second thing where it was like,
why?
It was like Chadwick Boseman being like, boom, 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 in some fast scenes, and it was like, 21 Bridges, and I was like, I don't need that kind of crap in my life.
I'm here to see a trailer, and that is it.
And that's it. I don't need an extra 10 seconds of this.
All right.
And discussion
now. Okay. So in the trailer, they keep saying what is going on here and mood, big mood. I have no idea what's going on in this movie other than they have to close the bridges, all 21 bridges of Manhattan.
When Chadwick Boseman was like, close all the bridges, put the subways on loop, I was like, am I watching an episode of Law and Order? Because this is what that sounds like.
That's what it's, it makes it sound like that they tried to do this as a TV show. To Law and Order, and they're like, oh, this is too long, let me turn this into a movie. That's how I feel like. And I also have no idea what's going on.
So all I know is that Chadwick Boseman is typecasted into this role, and I hate it. But it's like, he's a detective that likes to go on cases that are people that kill cops. And I'm like, that's probably not a very common job. What else do you do with your
time?
No,
like, does he, like, go around the country? I mean, like, hey, maybe, do you have any cop killer
maybe
jobs?
Maybe he's, like, a specific guy that travels
Do they bring him in?
Is he, like, a special detective?
Give me that information.
I don't know.
That was never brought in.
But,
Wait, where did you find the information, though?
That was in the trailer.
See, I didn't get that. Because I was
so
confused.
It was, like, all about, like, his dad and how his dad died and his dad was a cop. So then he's trying to avenge that kind of thing. And, God, if we could get away from this, it would be great.
Because if you had your own personal struggle rather than understanding familial roles that you don't have to automatically apply into, then we can be our own human beings. I mean, what?
So, yeah, they, like, pull him in. And then so these two guys that I guess are working for somebody else kill like a bunch of cops in a row, and they're like, they must be professionals and blah blah blah, and he's trying to find these guys.
This is where it like got confusing,
and then and then they were like, close everything down, and I was like, I don't know what happened anything after that.
No, I don't know anything after, like, when they like try to go like into the, like, is it a heist movie, is it a cop movie? Like, you know, I love a good heist movie.
I don't think it's a good heist
movie. It's not a good heist movie. It's a cop movie because they're like, this deals with like within the cop, the copness of being cops, and they're also cops, I think. I think they're saying, like, there was, like, an in-play of it. But then they showed, like, them, like, being like, oh, it's a setup. We're gonna be like, oh, here's the for the video. And they actually, like, get killed or something. Then they take, like, only, like, 50 kilos or something. Like, they only take...
I know, and then they brought drugs into it, and I was like, wait, I thought they were just
now there's money
killing cops.
Coming to it. Like, how are they getting out? Why are they getting... I had too many questions for this trailer, so...
Too many questions, too many trailers. Good night.
I'm eating popcorn.
So I couldn't tell you what happened in the back half of this trailer at all.
No, and the
know what I hated?
The
writing.
The writing, yes. Because I hated it too.
Because when it popped up on the screen, it was like, Anthony and Joe Russo. And it was like, from... And it was like Endgame, Infinity War. They listed off like four. I was like, excuse me, if you don't know who the Russos are, then you don't know.
Like, you don't, like, it's okay. Like, you can, like, look it up. We don't need so much, we understand that they're big Marvel people, and also Chadwick Boseman's also Marvel. Like, we get it.
You could have just said, if you wanted to say just one, that would be better than listing three of your movies.
Just say, like, Endgame, and then move on. Right. It's, like, it's okay. Like, remember, your audience, as stupid as they are, they're not stupid at all. Like, they're smart. Like, trust your audience.
Come on. I was so mad when they did that. Like, at first when it was, like, Anthony and Joe Russo, I was like, oh. And then they did all that, and I was like, why are you doing this in your film trailer?
I know. And it's just, like, you guys know
it's
how to.
It's stupid.
You know what? No, maybe they don't know how to make a movie trailer, but Marvel does. There's a difference.
Yeah. Maybe they were, like, add in stuff about us.
Yeah. It's like, hey, guys, we're important, too.
What if they don't know us because this isn't a Marvel film?
I was gay Joe Russo. Remember that? Was the one gay character in Endgame.
Which makes me want to die. Anyway.
Let's not rehash
anything from Endgame. But yeah, so that was really annoying. And there was a lot of, like, the writing coming up interspliced. And I was like, I don't need all this. I don't need all this.
It was too dark. They should have lightened it up a bit. It just does not seem, like, right. You know, like, when something is, like, just a bit off and you can't quite grasp as to what is being off?
Oh, well, I think I 100% grasp what's being off is that they didn't give you any information. All the scenes they were showing didn't make any sense.
They didn't make any sense, and I think they gave us too much information as to what's going on.
Right, and I think because there was too much happening and that kind of stuff, zoned. I was like, I can't listen to this because I don't know what's happening, because you're trying to give me all this information, but none of it makes sense because you're not giving it, like, in the right way.
Right.
So you know how it is, what I was saying about his Dark Materials, where the cinematography and everything was so wonderful and so great that I kind of, like, lost
where
the plot
was? There's no cinematography in this. Sorry.
Hold on. I'm going to say that. Just give me a second.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so mad.
But, like,
popcorn in my mouth.
In his Dark Materials, I got so, like, wrapped up in how great everything else was that I kind of lost the plot, but that was okay. In this, everything was so bad, and I, like, didn't care so much, and I, like, slowly but surely just lost interest and then just stopped paying attention, is honestly, like,
And
then I was, but there was nothing pulling me back.
There was, and it, like, once it lost you, you were lost.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you were just, like.
And I was, like, I could watch this again, but I don't want to.
I don't want to, and it's not like, there's just nothing pulling, like you just said, there's nothing pulling me in.
There's no way I want to watch this except for Stephen James and Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, the only, like.
But I'm not going to go see this movie.
No,
they are not strong enough of characters for me to pull me to this.
The only time I would see it if I was, like, up at 2 in the morning drinking, like, a Truly or something and being like.
Not even. I think you would get through 10 minutes of this and turn it off.
Oh, God, you know me way too well.
I know.
Yeah, I would. I would honestly be like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Even for Chadwick Boseman.
Sorry, Chadwick Boseman.
I love you, if you're listening.
All right. So, Kelsey, what'd you rate this?
1.5 out of 5.
I'm going to give it the same.
Yeah. Because, like, there was an effort.
They tried.
They really tried, but I'm not going
to
give them any credit.
But as they continued to try, it got worse and worse.
They just, like, kept trying. I'm like, okay, give up the reins. Know when to
give
up the reins.
You know what? It's kind of like when you're doing, like when you're drawing something and you don't know where to end it, so you just keep adding shit.
Yes, and then all of a sudden it's like a horse with 8 arms.
That's the greatest imagery for that ever. But, like, that's what I do when I'm, like, doing something creative. I'm like, oh, but I could keep doing to do this, and I could keep going to do this, and then it ends up being terrible, and you're like, oh, I should have stopped this 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
Understandable. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Oh my God, guys.
Guys, we did it.
I would just like to point out that I think last year's Comic-Con episode was like
three
times as long as this.
Oh, it was literally unedited, probably around 2 hours. And yeah, I think, like, that you edited it down to maybe like 30 minutes, which is a godsend. I think that we're more seasoned professionals now as I eat popcorn into a microphone. I think that it will be a lot easier this week for you. I think also we kind of pared it down as to what we really wanted to talk about. Marvel also did not show any trailers. They just talked about shit, so.
Yeah, so don't worry. There'll be many trailers.
There'll be
in the future
many
for us
trailers.
To keep that,
don't
you know.
Worry, people. We keep it in business here.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
That's all we got for you.
That's all she wrote.
That's all. Oh, God, we can't record this late at night.
It is almost 11 p.m., guys. All right, so we have to do some business, though.
Yes.
So
if you wanted to reach out to us on social media, you could find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Too Many Trailers. That's T-W-O Mini Trailers. And if you wanted to send us a longer thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, whatever like that, you could always email us at TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. T-W-O ManyTrailers@gmail.com.
I can't wait till we have a jingle.
Oh my god, to sing that for us? Yeah. Just play the jingle?
T-W-O.
Kelsey's ready to write a song.
I'm ready to go. All right. If you want to listen and rate and subscribe, we post on iTunes. You can rate us 5 stars, hopefully, if you would like.
If you enjoy us,
if you enjoy us, yeah. And subscribe. We put out new episodes every other week. Hopefully not as long as this, but generally we try to
keep it a little shorter for you guys.
Do our best. So we're also on Spotify, Overcast, and Anchor. So Android users, rejoice. We can kind of get on.
And we are working towards getting it on Google Play. It will be accomplished by the end of the summer.
Awesome.
I just put a deadline on it, which means I have to do
it. Any other parting thoughts before we end the show?
This was great San Diego Comic-Con this year. And honestly, I'm so sad we weren't there, but also if we had been there, I would have been really overwhelmed.
It felt different, but I think it's because last year there was like, it was bone dry, essentially. And I think
there was so much smaller stuff that we had to cover.
There was a TV show. There was a lot more TV shows that were like premiering and like
hyped
over. Yes,
there were a lot of new things. And we were like, well, we have to cover all these things because they're premiering.
Right, exactly.
And this time we were like,
okay, let's like.
There wasn't a lot, so let's just talk about what we want to talk about and be done.
I think that we were just more understanding of what we wanted to talk about.
More organized.
Yes. Were we?
Organization.
Wow. That's about it, I think. Yeah. Like we do on more of our more recent episodes, don't judge a show, don't judge a movie by their trailer. Leave that up to us. Have a wonderful whenever. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.